try and burn the night away. Stood before me was my enemy.
Once again to another edition of American Exposé. A little bit of a late start here, people. Frustrations abounding over here. And things just don't seem to change. Do we win in the end, listeners? That's my question. Do we win in the end? Or have we already lost? I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just trying to state the way it is. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. We have Brett coming up, who was at the Gorbachev speech. He should have some revealing information and send some files to the network so we can hear the speech itself. We'll be back. Stay with us. Gorbachev Foundation, Green Cross International, is no secret to many. The setup scenario is well in place, well chronicled, well documented, but very secretive about what they want to do. And, Brett, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
How are you today?
I'm not too bad. How are you doing, Chris?
Well, you know, every day's the same in the way things are being run. So, you know, I've had a lifetime of this, and I'm a little fed up, and certainly tell us about your experience that you called me about last week.
Yes, sir. On Friday, the 28th, I believe it was, Mikhail Gorbachev came to Kansas State University in Manhattan, Kansas, where I attend college, and he gave a speech, and there's always a question and answer session afterwards, and my good buddy James, who I co-host my radio show with on the Revere Radio Network, revereradionetwork.com is that website, he came along with me, and he videotaped it, and got this great audio that I'm sure you're going to want to play if you got it there at the network. And anyway, the question and answer session, I got up and I asked him some questions about his anti-constitutional behavior with the Earth Charter, Green Cross, Green Shield, the Gorbachev Foundation, and Agenda 21. And his answers were nothing but political dodging.
Well, you experienced it yourself firsthand, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And how long did the speech last?
The speech was about an hour, and then I was the second question. Actually, the first clip I sent in the network is a clip of Gorbachev actually admitting the New World Order. He says that we are creating a New World Order.
How long was that portion of the speech or the clip that you sent?
It's about 2 minutes and 50 seconds long.
Okay, let's play that first clip if we can. And what was the name of this file that you sent, the particular one you want to play first?
It's NWO.
NWO. Okay, Clint, looks like that should do it, and let's hear that. And once again, Gorbachev, Green Cross International. We're going to go there right now. You go there right now.
Dialogue with the Islamic world is the only correct path. So we are facing a different world. In this context, there is a great need for rethinking the role of the West in the global process. I believe that we should act now. We should act quickly in order to unite our efforts in the face of the global challenges that I described. The main problem is the problem of governance, and I'm not speaking of a world government. I believe that we need a system at the national level, the regional level, at the level of international organizations, and a new role of the United Nations. It is easy to condemn the United Nations, but it is more difficult, and it's very important to reform the United Nations in order to make that organization consistent with the needs of our time. We need the political will in order to successfully do that. We need, I believe, a kind of a global compact on the principles of new world institutions. I believe that those institutions should provide for peace in a world of ethnic and cultural diversity. We need a mechanism that would help us to address the problem of overcoming poverty and backwardness by accumulating the allocation of 0.7% of the GDP for development assistance to overcome poverty and backwardness. Up until now, that goal set by the United Nations and accepted by all the nations has been achieved by only 3 countries. So we need to work step by step. We need to make a transition to a new world order. The late Pope, John Paul II, said that we need a world order.
Okay, we'll just play it through the commercial pause.
It would be more stable, more just, more equitable, and more humane. Indeed. No one knows the details of the new international order, but I believe that the goals set by His Holiness the Pope are very important to all of us, and let's bear those goals in mind. To conclude.
Okay, very, very, very interesting. And Brett, having heard him speak his Russian tongue, his Russian language, didn't that bring chills up your spine when you're hearing him speak?
Yeah, it did. And I was sitting next to James during the speech there, and our eyes just went wide once we heard him say New World Order. And we looked around the auditorium, and everybody just kind of sat there, and it didn't faze anybody else really in the auditorium that we saw. It really sent chills down my spine. I got really nervous before I went up there to ask him his question, and the question I asked. But I was happy to do it, and I was happy to expose this New World Order pimp.
Now, we're going to hear that question, but why don't you explain the question once again so the listeners know what to be listening for, because we're going to approach a commercial pause. But everything he was speaking there is Agenda 21.
Yeah, it is. And, Chris, as you've been out front on Agenda 21, and I've really come to realize a whole lot of stuff by listening to your show and visiting your website. Like you said, everything he said was Agenda 21, and we need to break this story open, and we need to inform the masses about what Agenda 21 is. It's one of the best kept secrets in the world today.
It unfortunately is a well kept secret, and that's why I do it so much. In 2005. It's the plan for the human race on planet Earth for the 21st century. So it's officially 5 years into implementation, and the Millennium Development Goals are part of that. And certainly, Green Cross International, they have a global campaign for the right to water. And they say today, one-third of the world's population is suffering from a lack of adequate drinking water and or sanitation. International organizations, governments, local authorities, financial institutions, private corporations, and indeed all members of society are responsible for redressing the situation and ensuring the right to water for all. Okay, so he says everyone has the right to water. Well, that's a foregone conclusion to you and me, Brett.
Yeah, it is.
And everyone around us. The point is that they're controlling water. They're moving to control water and food at the UN system. And so when you control water, you control the attitudes of the world and society as a whole. And so here we are. Doesn't that make sense?
Well, Chris, I mean, as you well know, as the New World Order reaches its final goals, they're going to try and control the billions of people on Earth by controlling natural resources, food, water, and then by the controlled release of plagues and government-staged terror attacks. As we well know, they're going to scare the population into submission. And that's what we're here for. We're here to inform the masses of these these people's tricks. And I think we're doing a great job of it. We're waking up a lot of people right now.
Oh, yeah. We're a thorn in the side of the Bilderberg Organization, the Council on Foreign Relations. I'm reluctant to take it too much further back than the UN system, the State Department, CFR, Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, because they're still untouchable. And why take it any further back? But if we want to increase our numbers, that's what we have to do.
That's right. We've got the documentation behind us, and nobody can refute the documentation once they're confronted with the facts. I mean, that's how I woke up. I'm sure that's how you woke up, Chris. And we have the facts. We have right on our side, and we're just out there in the light.
Yeah, we are in a global straitjacket. Joan Vion said it very well in her book 5 years ago, or 6 years ago now. And I can't emphasize how important it is for everyone to have that book. I'm sure you probably have it, Brett, and maybe you don't. But the point is, if anybody wants that book, and they should, if they're concerned about their family and country, that number is 301-371-0541. 301-371-0541. Order the book, The Global Straitjacket, written 6 years ago. Doesn't matter. It's a plan that's well documented, well directed from the UN system, Green Cross International, a non-governmental organization of the UN system, and Mikhail Gorbachev. At the conclusion of the next commercial pause, we're going to continue with this speech. How much of this speech did you send to the network, Brett?
I just sent that clip and then my question. My question runs about 7 minutes, but only the first, 30 seconds is my actual question. So if you guys want to cut that off, because his answer is he's talking about the Earth Charter, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Well, that's okay. The more we hear Gorbachev speak, the better it is for the listeners, because we weren't there at the speech. We weren't there at the speech in Ada, Oklahoma, either. And so the more you can send to the network to play, we need to galvanize this direction from Gorbachev, as I was speaking a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where is he? What's he doing? And all of a sudden he shows up here in America.
Yes.
So on the, let's see, it was the 26th of October, he was in Ada, Oklahoma. And then he went right to your place. And where were you, in Kansas?
In Manhattan, Kansas, yes.
Manhattan, Kansas, and that was on the 27th?
The 28th.
28th, okay.
And then he was in Lindsberg, Kansas, the day after that. And, you said you want your listeners to hear Gorbachev speak more. If your listeners want to go to my website, fateofnations.com, we have his speech in its entirety on the front page, and they can watch that for free.
Very good. Okay, listeners, we're with Brett. And we'll continue on the other side, fateofnations.com. And we'll hear more of Gorby. Well done, Brett. Welcome back to the broadcast. Brett Folks is our guest, listeners. His website is stateofnations.com. Before we go any further with this Gorby speech, what is the right to water from Green Cross International? The recognition of different dimensions of water usages, domestic, industrial, agricultural, boundaries, local, regional, and international, values, cultural, social, environmental, and economic, and users, human beings, and all other life. It also recognizes water's crucial importance for, get this, listeners, sustainable economic and environmental development and facilitates the adoption of a new ethical, ecosystematic, and right-based approach to sustainable water management. Now, what's the code word for Agenda 21? Sustainable development. This emerging approach will prioritize the right to water, which is essential for securing social justice, dignity, equality, and peace. And once again, how is poverty produced? wars, weather modification, environmental modification. There it is. There is no other way around this, listeners. We've had more wars than any time in human history in the last 60 years since the inception of the UN system. And actually, it's more than, it's like 65 years, 64 years. The UN was officially formed in 1945, unofficially formed on January 1st, 1942. So they go on to say here, the right to water means the fundamental human right of access to water for life, i.e. water of a quality, quantity, and accessibility sufficient to satisfy the basic human needs for drinking, hygiene, cleaning, cooking, subsistence, agriculture, for local food consumption and sanitation. Water for life also designates a guaranteed flow to ensure the health and proper functioning of all aquatic ecosystems. So the point is, we're surrounded by water, but it's non-drinkable. And water is being used by the UN system and Green Cross International, an NGO of that system, to control populations. And this is the point. So we're going to hear Brett's question to Gorbachev. Then we're going to have Brett talk about this question before we go to the commercial pause. Then we come back from the commercial pause. We'll play the question and the answer after we return from the commercial pause. So let's bring up that question, Brett. Brett.
Hello, Mr. President. I'm here today on behalf of actually millions of Americans who are concerned with your anti-constitutional behavior in regards to the environment, the environmental movement, the Earth Charter, your organizations, the Gorbachev Foundation, Green Cross, and Green Shield, and the UN's Agenda 21. It seems that the sustainability campaign of the UN Agenda 21 is really just code for land grabbing. I wish you could comment on that, please.
Okay, now, we're going to go back and play that again after the commercial pause. That took a lot of courage on your behalf to make that statement, Brett.
Yeah, you know, you can ask my co-host, James. He actually wrote me a note during the speech because my hand was shaking as I was making notes. He said, stop shaking, be calm, I got your back. And I don't know how much time we have before the commercial pause, but I might be able to go into this. But
go ahead.
The president and the vice president of my university actually recognized me because Lee Hamilton, the vice chairman of the 9/11 Whitewash Commission, came to K-State at the end of March, and I did the same thing with him. You can go to fateofnations.com and see that as well. But they recognized me, and they were writing notes back and forth while they were sitting behind Gorbachev up on stage. And they saw me as a problem, as a troublemaker. And so, I was understandably a little bit nervous, but I did stand up there, and I did expose Gorbachev as I did expose Lee Hamilton.
Well, and were there any other questions that were as troubling to Gorbachev as yours?
No. There, mm-hmm. You know, people don't know this information on a wide scale. I mean, there were a few. There was one question before mine, and then I think two or three behind mine. But none of them were really, you know, quote unquote hostile questions like mine was, as mm-hmm. your listeners just heard.
Yes, and so there is the crux of the situation. Most people are buying the propaganda machine on the television and the visiting speakers at these colleges and universities. And what is his central goal here, according to this, out of the Oklahoman from Ada? Mikhail Gorbachev, the last Soviet president and Nobel Peace Prize winner, told spectators Tuesday night the world hasn't learned lessons of the Cold War. Quote, so in the world today, fear and the use of forces will not solve problems. Uh-huh. And certainly I'm amazed that this man doesn't know English yet. We need new thinking, he says. Gorbachev has been in the United States since Thursday discussing ways to bring peace and end poverty in the world. Now, Brett, ending poverty, how is poverty formed in your opinion?
Well, just like you said, through wars, through really government action. If we had a smaller government, we wouldn't have to pay for so much government. We wouldn't have so many wars. And when we get back from the break, I can go over that further if you'd like.
Okay, keep that in mind. Write some notes. When we come back, we're going to hear the question again, and then we're going to have Gorbachev's answer when we come back from the commercial pause immediately following the commercial pause for the Free Enterprise cause. Stay with us. I'm sorry. I had the mic off. Brett, he was just beating around the bush, wasn't he?
Yeah. He noticed he didn't address the anti-constitutional behavior or Agenda 21 or, you know, his three organizations. By the way, the head of Green Cross International was actually sitting 10 feet away from me while I was asking my questions.
And who is that?
I forgot his name. He was a European gentleman. Also, by the way, former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Richard Myers was also in the crowd.
I see.
And he will be coming to work for my university. So he's got some questions to answer about September 11th, and I think I'm the guy to ask those questions if we're going to be in the same town.
Absolutely. Very well thought of here. Now, it was disclosed last week on the news that Prince Charles is here in America right now. I haven't seen any information in the newspaper yet, although I haven't looked at yesterday or today's newspaper. So maybe there's going to be a high-level meeting of dignitaries and NGOs in America. I'm not sure. But from Prince Charles, Joan Vion's the sustainable prince. And keep in mind of what Mikhail Gorbachev just answered from Brett's question. She says, it should be noted that Agenda 21 sets up the global infrastructure needed to manage, count, and control all of the world's assets. Included are the forests, freshwater, agricultural lands, deserts, pastures, rangelands, farmers, fields, oceans, and inland waterways, marine environment, marine life, cities, housing, sewer, and solid waste, methods of production, air, pollution, biotechnology, every aspect of living, farming, production, and manufacturing, research and medicine, etc., along with you and me. As a result of advanced technology through computers and satellites, the Geographic Information System, GIS, the management, count, and control is being done. And basically, that's what he just said.
That's right, Chris. You know, like I said earlier, that's the way they're going to control us is by controlling our natural resources, controlling our food, our water. And before we went to that first break, you were asking me how I thought wars were created. And, you know, we've got the Project for the New American Century document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, where they said in the document, Saddam is not a threat, but he, you know, gives us a useful pretext to go in and get the trillions of dollars in oil. You know, so wars are really fought, in my opinion, to control populations, to control natural resources. Governments don't fight each other. Usually, you know, you see World War One. It wasn't fought against each other to destroy governments. It was a means to control populations, gain land, gain natural resources, and it's just fought out of greed. They want more control over us. We have too many rights for the New World Order to tolerate us here in the United States. I mean, Chris, we're talking to each other. In how many countries can we do this, really?
Well, this is the last country, basically, that this can be done. And if we don't increase our numbers and networks, we have a big problem, don't we?
That's right.
Now, you were talking about wars and controlling populations. What do wars do but also to create refugees and create poverty?
That's right.
So,
and as we all well know, wealth is never created or destroyed. It's only transferred.
Right. Now, what we ought to do is play those two cuts again and make sure everybody hears this as we've discussed this a little bit. And we need to hear this again because it's vital that we get the picture in place. Why is Prince Charles and Mikhail Gorbachev in America right now? You know, we're not being told. But there's probably some kind of high-level plenary meeting going on this week, more than likely somewhere, in maybe a hideaway of Ted Turner's in his multi-acred population control centers that he has in America. Ted Turner owns a lot of property in America, and this guy, who knows where he comes from. But,
well, Chris, may I stop you for a second here? Ted Turner will be coming to K-State on November 28th, and hopefully I'll be able to get in and expose him for his depopulation agendas as well.
Yeah, good. Very good idea. And good for you for being alert to confront these individuals, because if you didn't do it, who would?
Well, that's what I've come to realize. We in this movement, whatever you want to call it, we have to stand up for ourselves, and we can't depend on others to do it.
No, we can't. Everybody has to get involved now. And this is why there's a cadre of people working with Dennis and Vicky and myself and Darren. It's all coming together to a certain extent. We need more numbers. We need more people to do the research, to connect dots, to agree with us or disagree with us. We'd like to have someone disagree with us, but when they do the research, you find as well, Brett, that no one disagrees, do they?
Well, I've had some guests on my radio show, Revere Radio Network, who have disagreed with me, but I, in my opinion, they have not done the research. And I find that once people have been confronted with the documented evidence, that it's very, very hard for them to disagree. And they've got to employ a lot of doublethink to actually disagree.
Yes. In other words, propaganda.
Right. And Orwell wrote about that well in 1984.
Yes. So let's see if we can put that back up on the air, the 2 points that Brett sent over there to the network. Let's see if you can play that. And we'll bring that up momentarily, understanding that this is Mikhail Gorbachev speaking in Kansas as he was speaking in Ada just last week. Gorbachev addresses ECU on world poverty and problems. Are you ready? Yeah. Okay, go.
Hello, Mr. President. I'm here today on behalf of actually millions of Americans who are concerned with your anti-constitutional behavior in regards to the environment, the environmental movement, the Earth Charter, your organizations, the Gorbachev Foundation, Green Cross, and Green Shield, and the UN's Agenda 21. It seems that the sustainability campaign of the UN Agenda 21 is really just code for land grabbing. I wish you could comment on that, please.
Хартия земли — это тот документ, который родился в рамках зеленого движения, потому что это не только идея зеленого креста, это одновременно идея Совета Земли.
The Earth Charter was not produced by just by Green Cross International. This is a document that was developed as a result of common efforts by many environmental organizations, by many green organizations, including the Earth Council and many others.
Это идея, которую поддержали многие правительства.
This Earth Charter has now been supported by many governments.
Вопрос был поставлен так, что мы уже дошли до грани, и дальше начнутся такие разрушения в биосфере, которые приведут, вообще говоря, к удару по роду человеческому.
The Earth Charter recognizes that we have come to a point when the biosphere is being destroyed irreversibly, and this could have disastrous consequences for mankind.
Тогда очень отчетливо в выступлениях многих звучала тема: нам нужны своего рода новые заповеди.
And when we were drafting the Earth Charter, many of the drafters called for a kind of new set of commandments, environmental commandments.
Была создана комиссия, в которой представлены были все континенты планеты.
The drafting commission had representatives from all continents.
Это интеллектуалы, это политики, это представители малых народов.
It included not only intellectuals and the political figures, but also people representing indigenous nations and others.
Возглавлял ее замечательный американец, интеллектуал, способный выслушивать всякую ересь, которую несли в комиссию эту, и поражал своим демократизмом. Профессор... профессор Рокфеллер, только младший.
It was headed by an American, a person whom I consider a wonderful person, an intellectual, a very tolerant person, a person who was able to listen to good thoughts and stupid thoughts, but a person who was able to integrate different viewpoints, Professor Stephen Rockefeller.
5 лет мы работали.
We worked for 5 years.
Я входил в комиссию.
I was a member of that commission.
Вместе с бывшим премьер-министром Голландии Рудом Люберсом я представлял Европу.
I was there as a representative of Europe, together with the former prime minister of Holland, Ruud Lubbers.
Мне кажется, несмотря на все трудности, с которыми мы встретились, получился замечательный документ, в котором в концентрированной форме, по сути дела, в 18 пунктах сформулированы самые главные озабоченности и одновременно и высказаны, я бы сказал, приоритеты, руководство с которыми надо решать проблемы сохранения Земли.
And I believe that even though this was a difficult process, as a result, we were able to develop a document that I think is a remarkable document. Those 18 commandments, they...
Well done. Very, very interesting. Let's continue. Brett, can you stay with us some more?
Sure, you got me, as long as you need me, Chris.
Okay, very good. We'll take some phone calls about this. Let's hear what you have to say. 800-313-9443 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the broadcast. Now, Brett, do you notice that he's never... let me ask you. Did he ever mention one time in his presentation the United Nations?
Yeah, he mentioned it quite a few times, and I would actually challenge your listeners to go to fateofnations.com, and they can listen to the whole speech in its entirety for free. And he mentions the UN quite a few times, and he says that we need to strengthen the UN, we need to... empower the UN and really just give it more power. And also, if your listeners want to go to revereradionetwork.com, they can download my shows for free, just like they can at rbnlive.com. My show is called Fate of Nations, and we do an in-depth analysis this week. So again, I challenge your listeners to go to fateofnations.com, revereradionetwork.com, and they can get in-depth analysis as they can on your site and your show.
Now, back to Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince. As he's in America, we aren't hearing much about this in the news that I can see, although I haven't been monitoring it 24/7. But here we see sustainable development is like a prism. Every time you turn it, you get a different color. The sustainable development prism includes the social, political, economic, and environmental facets. It was the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, UNCED, held in June 1992, that set the tone and provided the support for the philosophical shift to holism, earth over man. It was in Agenda 21, the UNCED program of action, that the term sustainable development was first used. Before that time, it does not appear that it was used in any of the 1970s or 1980s United Nations documents or reference books. And let me revisit this paragraph that I covered earlier. It should be noted that Agenda 21 sets up the global infrastructure needed to manage, count, and control all of the world's assets. Included are the forests, freshwater, agricultural lands, deserts, pastures, rangelands, farmers' fields, oceans and inland waterways, marine environment, marine life, cities, housing, sewer and solid waste, methods of production, air, pollution, biotechnology, every aspect of living, farming, production, and manufacturing, research and medicine, etc., along with you and me. As a result of advanced technology through computers and satellites, the Geographic Information System, GIS, the management, count, and control is being done. In other words, sustainable development, which is the code word for Agenda 21, is being implemented everywhere all the time. And that's the way I see it, Brett.
I couldn't have said it any better myself, Chris. And he says sustainability a few times in his speech as well, if I do remember correctly. And as I said in my questioning of Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, sustainability and Agenda 21 is code for land grabbing and really just seizure of our lives. As your listeners well know, on June 23rd, 2005, the Supreme Court really pushed forward Agenda 21 with the eminent domain ruling, and it really abolished the last part of the Fifth Amendment to the United States of America Constitution, where it says, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And as we all well know, a private interest can just give a better use clause, and really the government can go in and take your private property. And this is what Agenda 21 is all about. It's being implemented right under our noses.
Yes. We're not allowed to own private property when this is in total fulfillment. And there is the reason the battle is drawn. The battle line is drawn. We are being maneuvered and manipulated behind our backs. Most of us have no clue. I mean, those of us that do the research do, and Brett is certainly one of them. And we'll come back and see what Todd has to say, and Barney, and anyone else want to address this Gorbachev speech and what's going on here? It would be very interesting to hear your comments. We'll be right back. Stay with us.